Blog Talk Radio.
You are now logged in to GrudgeInc.us, the number one source for grudge racers coast to coast.
Another month. I don't know about y'all, but this year is already halfway done, and we still have a lot of racing to do, a lot of living to do, and still have a lot of goals and commitments we would like to achieve. With that being said, hello to y'all out there. We're going to get started here with our inspirational vitamin of this morning. It's the wrestling in prayer. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. You can read that from James 5:16. It does not mean physical violence or fleshly energy. It is an inward force or ability planted and inspired by the Holy Spirit. In effect, it is the intercession of the Spirit of God in us. The divine Spirit supplies us with the energy of his own determination. This is the essence of the presence that urges our praying to continue until the blessing descends. This wrestling in prayer is not loud, but firm and urgent. When there are no visible outlets for mighty forces, it may be stopped. Let's go to prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this glorious Monday morning. We thank you for allowing us to wake up this morning and just share another blessful week. We ask that you continue to keep us motivated in which we set to achieve, oh, Heavenly Father, to redirect our energy to the most positive things in our lives. We ask that you continue to bless the sick and shut in, O Heavenly Father. We ask that you heal the weary. Continue to motivate, cultivate the strong, O Heavenly Father. Aid the weak, O Heavenly Father. We ask that you continue to allow us to come together in one assembly so that we can enjoy one another fellowship. We ask all these blessings and more. In Jesus' name we pray. Good morning, good morning. Boy, a lot went on this weekend. Here in Georgia, was a lot of rain, unfortunately. I do know that Terry's race got off out there. I was following them on Facebook, and it looked like they were having fun up there. I don't know if he's on here, but I'm sure someone from up that way will come on later and speak on his behalf of what went on. With that being, here we go. We got a hand up. Let me get on in here and see what's going on here. 414-6614. Good morning. How are you? Yes.
What's going on, baby?
Not much. What's going on? Who it is? Stoke. What's going on? What's going on?
Eastside Strangler.
Yes, man. Hey, man. Y'all look like y'all having a little fun, huh?
Man, it was going down, man. You know, first big race, man, at any type of good racing, man, that we had up here, man, as far as grudge racing that I've seen. Yeah, man, everybody
right,
was out,
right.
Man.
Well, how did
everybody,
you know?
Everybody was out.
Did you do anything spectacular? Did you do anything spectacular to someone?
Oh, yeah, man, I was getting it on, man. I was picking my lane, betting on who I like. That's what I do.
Okay. So you went up out of there with a little extra summer cash there, come on.
Yeah, we had a few little friendly bets going on up in there.
Yeah. You left there with a little Disney World money, what we call it down south. Now, come on.
Oh yeah. You know, get your money back from the get your gate money back, your parking money, your concession money, and all that.
Yeah, a little Disney World money. That's all we talk about down here. Little Disney World money. You know what I mean? You going to Disney World with it. Ain't no big deal. Good. Well, I know you got a rundown on really well. Let me ask you this question. What was your biggest race and what was the best race that you've seen there? The one that you've been anticipating pretty much all week long. What was that race for you?
Like, really, I was just glad to see just some action, you know what I'm saying, up here in our parts, man. That's all I was just really glad to see. But it's some guys, man, they got some nice stuff, man. They got some nice stuff, man. Even though, you know, it ended in a three-way tie or whatever, because they had, a bad oil down. You know, they had a real bad oil down up there. And that's like, by the time they got the oil down cleaned up, curfew had set in, so, you know. That was it for that.
Man.
Yeah.
So that was that was basically y'all first run right after the winter, pretty much what you're saying, the first big race. Because y'all been in the garage most of the season.
Yeah. But I like I say, but, you know, they didn't have events up in Detroit or whatever, but I'm talking about as far as, you know, in the Chicago area, you know. This has been like one of the
first. Right. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying in y'all area.
Yeah,
I'm saying in y'all area.
Yeah, they got another big race coming up this Saturday, man. Big Sham and Bruce Leroy, they throwing a South Side versus the West Side race this Saturday coming up. They had a few races locked in Saturday. You know, some guys from the South Side, GQ race from the South Side, and Puerto Rican Pete from the West Side, they was gonna get it in. Vega, Puerto Rican Pete's Vega against GQ's Mustang, they was gonna get it in. But you know the oil down, it killed a lot of stuff, man.
Man, where is that race gonna be held Saturday?
Oh, it's gonna be at No Limit Raceway. Saturday, gates open at 9. It's like 9. It's gonna be like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the evening.
No Limit Raceway. What type of track is that? They have guardrails or walls?
No, they got walls, yeah. No guardrail. That's where what Beers had used to have his race at. The North versus the South, that's what Beers used to have his race at.
Oh, right there in Indiana. In
Morocco. Morocco, Indiana.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you almost had me for a minute. I'm like, no, let me let that world. Yeah, that's a good track.
Yeah.
Definitely, most definitely. Well, hey, man, we appreciate you coming on, giving us an update. Because I have been looking and trying to write down some things on what went on and this and that. And, with all of us being on the Facebook and everything together, like I said, it looked like y'all was having a bunch of fun up there, man, and I was happy for y'all.
Everybody was there.
We had a race scheduled, get your weight up. I wanted to see really how much weight folks were going to bring in the track this weekend, and we had to cancel it, which it was the best thing to do. The rain was coming in pretty late, and nobody wants to get excited, you know, being sitting out there and trying to get down, and next thing you know, the rain come in. So the promoters went on ahead and shut it down early to save money, save people coming out and setting the grills up and all that, and you know what I mean, being irritated with the rain. So, you know.
It's raining, bad up here in Wisconsin. Now it's raining real bad.
Okay. Well, hold on, Eastside. We got somebody else with their hand up here. We're going to I'm waiting on my tech man to get in here. We were going to have, Mr. Chris Nelson in today. He's currently with a client. And if not, y'all don't be mad at me because, like I said, it rained this weekend. I did prepare to go to the track this weekend and get information for y'all on what went on. But we will be dealing with a topic. Let me get these calls out the way and we come back with that. 478-1750.
What's up, Fred? What's up?
What's going on, Mr. Bacteria?
Not too much, man. You know, I was the one that was throwing the raise, get your weight up. I had to cancel due to rain, but I will be bringing it back very soon. The date will be back out. And since the spectators didn't get a chance to see nothing, I guess I might give away free food that day.
Okay.
When I do the raise back.
Okay. That sounds good. That's good. You're giving away something. Like I say, you know, this is the race I was supposed to be going to, fellas. Bacteria's race, get your weight up. I was supposed to be down in there in the house and really look forward to doing it, and it got canceled. So you know how that is. But we look forward to y'all rescheduling it and trying to get out there.
We're going to reschedule it.
By the way, you do have a race locked in for Thursday, don't you?
Yes, sir. Locked in with Ant Boney. It's going to be a good race, all I can say. It's going to be a real
one. Okay.
And you might want to take off from work and come watch it.
Well, I just might do that. But, you know, we'll see what happens. Thursday night are rough. Thursday nights are rough for me. But let me catch this other line. I'm going to leave you. Just mute your mic, and you can come on in when you want to. 770-8286. 770-8286. Good morning.
Good morning, there, Brad, one time.
Yes.
Rolling on.
What's going on?
This Monday morning. Rolling on this Monday morning, driver.
For y'all that don't know it, this is the number one Falcon fan right here, the Atlanta Falcon fan. This is the number one. He out there on the road. He about like truck driver. They burn the highways up. Y'all out there a little early, that driver. Good Lord.
Yes.
At 9 o'clock,
yes,
he is doing good. I'm like hitting you in the face.
I didn't want to call a comment on that bacteria there. I've been promised fish down there at that track before, and then it didn't come through. So I will be looking forward to coming to your race when I get that date and get some of that free food, because I missed You know, I've been promised free fish down there before, and it didn't come through. So I'm just letting you know, Bacteria, I'll be down there in line, first in line for that free food and a good race. And with that, I'm gone.
All right, Driver. Appreciate it, Driver. Oh, man. Jerry, those some rough words, ain't it? Woo-wee. They be looking for them that free food now. They don't play around about that. You notice he never said what type of food he gonna have. He been known that cut up peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for people, so you know how that go. But with that being said, we gonna get into some other things here. Bray getting ready to go to a quick commercial break and get this stuff on the road here, y'all. Just hold one moment for a quick commercial break.
Like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Broken glass everywhere, people pissing on the stairs, you know they just don't care. I can't take the smell, can't take the noise, got no money to move on, I guess I got no choice. Rats in the front room, roaches in the back, junkies in the alley with the baseball bat. I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far, cause a man with a tow truck repossessed my car. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
I'm back. The Bread is back with the topic of this morning. Well, y'all, I really hope that y'all are going to be vocal about this topic that I have, because it's really been touching me, and it's the individual been calling, and, you know, I've been trying to basically speak to the individual about this situation. The topic is at hand. If you drop your engine off at a shop, the engine shop, and you speak to the individual, they give you ideas on what you can do with your combination, and you say, well, hey, before you do anything, give me a call and let me know what all this is going to cost. My question is, how long would you go without getting a call before you go and pick your stuff up from that guy and realize that, you know, it's basically, you know, either he's too busy or he just don't want to do the work that's at hand. And that's my question of this morning. How long would y'all let your stuff sit in a shop, a machine shop, without getting any work done or know any prices or anything before you go pick the stuff up? I'm going to go to these two hands that I already had up. East Side, come on in with that right there. What you think about that, since I already got your mic open?
Okay, man, with that, Brett, I wouldn't leave my motor in the shop without nobody giving me a price, man. That's the first thing. We have to have some numbers, some type of number or some on it, man, because I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't dare do that.
Well, Eastside, let me take it a little further. I mean, what if you dropped the stuff off and they was busy, you know, he building three or four motors. I mean, he tell you, hey, I'm going to get to it and look at what you got going on. I mean, I don't know nobody that's going to just jump right on it once you come in the door. You know what I'm saying? Not at a big-time job. You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, how would you handle that situation? You know what I'm saying? If you told them, don't do any work without giving me a price on what's going on.
So you're like, okay, so you're saying, like, how long would I let it sit there, right, before?
Right. Yes. Like, for instance, you took it in there Monday. and you ain't heard from this guy for 2 weeks. But you know, you've been wanting to get your motor done. You know, I mean, how long would you?
I'll give him at least 2 weeks. If he don't say nothing to me in about 2 weeks, man, then we got a situation.
Right. Yeah, I can respect.
At least 2 weeks.
I can respect.
Especially if I know if he's busy, at least 2 weeks. You gotta let me know something in 2 weeks.
Right. That's very respectful. Let me go down here. Bacteria, your mic's still open. What you feel about that right there?
What was the question, Brett? I was on mute.
The question was, how long would you allow your engine, if you drop your engine off at a reputable engine shop, one of the best, and, you know, he was busy when you dropped your stuff off to get it done, how long would you go without hearing from him on what it would cost you to get it rebuilt, freshened up, or repaired?
Well, Fred, you know how I do. I ain't trying to be a big bad butt about it. When I drop it off, he's going to get started on mine right then because I just rent the whole shop.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So he's going to give me up right then.
I'm just saying, you got to come down a little bit. Come down to these folks' levels like me. You know what I mean? I mean, not everybody gets to rent the whole machine shop like you most of the time. But I'm just saying, if I'm sure you've been there when you first started out. You didn't do that when you first got into the game. But
no,
when you drop it off.
That's the way I did. But a week or two. I'll give him a week or two to get back in contact with me, shoot me a couple of numbers so I know where we stand at.
Oh, okay. Well, y'all hold that thought. 3194.
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
How are you?
Morning. Just fine, and yourself?
Oh, not too bad.
Well, I'm glad this is, for y'all that don't know it, this is Mr. Chris Nelson himself. I guess we are going to have a TikTok tip this morning. Ow! What you got for us, Chris?
Oh, not too much. Well, I just came in on the tail end of your previous conversation. Was there any kind of something we can pick up on and carry on from there?
Well, my question was, you know, how long do you allow your engine man to go without hearing from him? I had a lot of people calling me, you know, asking, you know what I mean, why they can't get any good customer services from, you know, chassis men, machine shop guys, all the above. You know what I'm saying? And I've been trying to, I know, you know, me and you've spoken on this right here. And, you know, it's like, you know, the gentleman that's on here now, Bacteria, he rent the whole machine shop. He come in and ask you, what would it cost him to shut the whole machine shop, to stop what you're doing and jump right on his stuff? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Some guys would go for that. You know what I mean? I know if I needed my bills paid, I probably would too. You know what I mean? I'm just being real. But
mm-hmm.
What about the guys that don't have that type of loop to go in and shut it down? You know, what do you feel? Because, you know, you are a big-time machine, man. I don't have a problem with you. You know what I mean? I'm just throwing this out there. I just got to make that clear now.
Give you a couple pieces of information and then my take on shutting everything down for a certain, you know, customer. It's common, I think, in the industry, whether it be chassis guys or engine guys or whatnot, and this is some troubles I've experienced myself, I've tried to work on all the time, that a lot of the business owners went into business for themselves because they had a talent for what they're doing, whether it be welding or fabricating, whatever the case may be. As far as the business aspect of everything, we're constantly playing a balancing act between getting that work done in the shop, hands-on ourselves, and taking the time in the office to do the due diligence to return quotes and emails, questions, phone calls, give updates, things like that. that's one thing that I struggle with a little bit myself is getting work done hands-on myself and getting all the office side of things or the business side of things handled as well. And both are necessary, don't get me wrong. But when you get in the one thing that I see a lot when I get in the middle of a project and you're concentrating and you're trying to give it a 100% of your attention and not make a mistake, it's hard to stop and grab each individual phone call. That being said, I've added, you know, as we were able to, added employees to where that's their job to do, but yet still a lot of guys just want to talk to the owner or the guy who's doing the work per se. And, you know, that'll take some time away too. So I've been able to field a lot of our, you know, phone calls, whether it be, you know, quoting things or getting back or giving guys updates or whatnot. Or another problem is if you run into a snag on the job, I'll get myself kind of blinders on trying to get the problem resolved rather than stopping and taking the time and saying, hey, we ran into a problem, we need to get a set of push rods, we don't have the correct push rods, and meanwhile you're trying to locate a set and get them here and all that kind of stuff, and don't give the heads up or the update, as you would say, to the customer of what's going on. You're just stuck fixing the problem, which doesn't make it right. It's just one of the things that I run into a lot, and I know it's chassis shops are the same way, you know, paint and body guys. You know, we all kind of struggle. It's a little bit of, you know, we have talent for what we do, and we're working on the business side of it as we go. Sometimes it's from constructive criticism, if nothing else, that we learn where our deficiencies are. So that's one of the things I think we run into, some of those problems quite often. Now, to address shutting the entire shop down for one customer, I think that's on a case-by-case basis as far as what size shop we're talking about. You know, if you're a one-man band and, you know, you can go in there and you say, hey, put my stuff in the front of the line, let's work on that, it'll be done in a couple of days. You know, it just depends on what your workload's like, if that's able to do that. But I do know that, you know, generally we do our billing, you know, just straight across the board. There's no millionaire price, there's no, you know, guy that's just starting off. You know, our labor rate is our labor rate. We just keep it consistent, charge for our time and materials. Therefore, it's hard to tell a guy that's been waiting and he's a couple days away from getting his stuff done, he's counting on, he's paying the same money, that, well, this guy, you know, has more money than you, he just put ahead. That'd just be real tough for me to, you know, pass on. Now, at the same time I say that, I don't want to contradict myself, because there are some guys that have, you know, spent a lot of money with you over time. They've been real good customers. They have sponsorship obligations to uphold. You know, they have a lot on the line, and sometimes we can move those jobs ahead of some that are, you know, projects, let's say, where the car's in the chassis shop, the engine's in the engine shop, and, you know, it's not going to be a major issue, you know, if something else that has a race coming up gets split out in front of it. So we do, you know, jockey our schedule around a little bit and try to treat everybody with as much respect as we can. But those are a couple of things that when I look at the workload that I have to consider myself, and I'm sure most other guys do in the same manner.
Right, right. I do understand that. I do understand that.
And it's tough. You know, I had a talent for building engines, not, you know, running out and being some sort of, you know, 30 years in business kind of businessman, you know, so I'm kind of backing into it the other way, and I know I've got some shortcomings, but I'm trying to make it better each and every year, you know, and improve upon those things.
Right. Well, we got these lines lighting up over here. I don't know if they want to ask you a question or what. Let me click a couple of them in here. 2944, 678-2944. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. Morning time, Mr. Breadman. Boy, how are you, sir? How are you?
I'm well.
A couple things I wanted to piggyback on. First thing was, there should be a certain time that somebody has a machine shop they have time to get your product to you in a timely manner, right? But at the same time, it's a relationship. You know, you also have to tell your engine builder what you plan to do, if you have any unexpected coincidences, or, you know, you're not able to do things. Because a lot of times what happens is you have plenty of people who want to do things as far as get their machine shop work done, but they don't have the money when they go in. This relationship has to be, you know, kind of delicate, because everybody does not know that, you know, like Chris said, there are bills that have to be paid. You know, you're not just running a shop for free. And everybody has to treat that as such, because if you don't have business, then you don't have a shop pretty much. But people will wait 3, 4, 5, 6 months, and then when they finally get their money up, they're wondering why they can't get
their stuff. Is it not done? Yeah, why is it not done?
And that's because it costs money to do those type things, you know, and that's not fair to the owner or the machinist, because, you know, they can't do that for free. They have families to feed. They have mouths to feed as well. But that goes into what kind of problems you run into in the building engines and wondering about machine shop work. And it also goes into the person who's dealing with, you know, the case-by-case basis, because some people, you know, are not going to pay you, you know, in that timely manner. And some will pay you right up. So, you know, it just depends on the rapport that the racer or the person that's getting the machine or the engine built, or, you know, whoever's getting the work done has with that owner or that machinist as to how fast it gets done as well. Thank you.
That is a very accurate statement. And you don't ever want to pass judgment about somebody's ability or inability to pay, so I don't. However, you do have a rapport, like you say, a relationship with past customers that, you know the guys who are going to say, hey, can I have it by this date? And on that date, they'll be there ready to pay for their parts and older bill so we can keep our doors open. And then you've had scenarios where a guy tells you all the right things, everything sounds good. You may even get a 50% deposit. But when it comes down to the remaining 50% of paying that balance due, and that doesn't happen timely, and you have 10 or 15 of those jobs going at the same time, now that balance due is multiplied over 5 or 10 jobs. It really will put a small shop like myself in a stalemate kind of position where now you need to spend money back to keep other jobs going, but your hands are tied because you have to get paid on the guy who had to have his stuff and now is nowhere to be found to pay for it. And I'll tell you, that is very much a seasonal thing, too. It happens quite often that the spring will go by, guys will pull their engines out because summertime's coming. It's hot, it rains, their kids are out of school, whatever the case may be, and they're not planning on racing a lot. But they want it done. So whenever they're ready to come pick it up, it's sitting there ready for them. So they'll tell you, man, I need it back as quick as I can. We'll get it done in, 4 weeks. Call them. Oh, I'm on vacation with my family. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And it's not till it's about time to cool off again, when it's almost September, that guy will show up and pay for that and pick up his engine. Meanwhile, we've sat on the balance due for 90 days. And that kind of puts a little bit of a sour taste in your mouth for the next guy, even though we shouldn't carry that forward to somebody else, or even for that same customer the next time. You know, so it's one of those things. If you ask for that guy to give you 100% payment up front to do that job in that timely manner, then he takes offense to that. So you're trying to treat people with respect, but at the same time, keep your cash flow moving along, just like the caller said. Exactly. You must be looking out over my shoulder and see what I deal with day to day. That's exactly right.
Let me grab some other lines, Chris. 706-1141. Hey, Mike, hey, Brad, how you doing? Hey, how you doing, Brad, man? So
get up and race. Mandrell, get up and race.
I appreciate it, Brad. Jumped in, Brad, about 5 or 6. What is the topic anyway, Brad? We just died in on the show.
Yeah, Brad, man, we just got on. Can you go over everything we done missed? Everything word for word.
We're wide open on tech talk. Whatever you guys want to talk about today, we'll talk about it.
I want to talk about this right here. I want to run Brad, man. 2014. Know what I want to talk about? I want to run Brad, man. Everybody on the phone that on the line with me. Want to run Brad, man. So, Brad, we want to know.
I want to run them, too. I want to run them. Run up in them. Whenever you're ready, I want to be the first one.
Brad, man, when are you coming out?
Muted.
Brad, man.
What I want to say is thank you guys for calling. And your mic is, there's a lot of background noise in your mic back there. And I do want to say that I will be coming out here shortly. It will probably be the end of the year. You know what I mean? I don't have a sponsor for one, and it is difficult. I keep it 100. I'm not trying to jump out there and, you know what I mean, get involved or, you know what I mean? Jump into something just to show y'all that I can come out there. No.
I tell you what, Brad. I spot you, Brad. I get your first 5 gallon fuel. What do you, 93 y'all think? And I get your first 5 gallon.
No. Brad, man, you got to take this as a compliment. These guys are already worried about you. You ain't even got the car out yet. So I think you're in good shape.
Oh yeah. See, they already know a lot. They just, you know, they just wanna, you know, tag a knife a little bit and motivate me. It's
hey, what are friends for?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But the topic was how long would you leave your engine at an engine shop without knowing an estimate on how much it costs to get the work done? That was the question.
You don't let your engine load enough
for
8 months.
Hey, Brad, I wouldn't leave mine nowhere without knowing how much it's going to cost me around about anyway. It's not going to hit me with that big price. I work every day, Brad. It can't hit me with that big price and expect me to pay it right then. I need to know then what's going on. Let's get this stuff checked out. Find out what we
got
to have, and we can go from there.
All depends is a real motor or a mock-up motor also.
Yeah. All right, but if you got a van auto, Brad, you can take it back, trade it out, swap it out.
Right. You're correct. Definitely correct. Well, I did hear somebody say a mock-up motor. What is a mock-up motor?
Which
what
direction
are
you direct
the
question?
Small pistons. No notches.
Okay. It's funny. I thought he was going to go on, step up, and describe what a mock-up motor was, but it sounded like his tongue a little tired right now.
Bread man. Will Chris Nelson be doing your motor? Would Chris Nelson be building your motor?
Sir, let me say this right here, sir. What would that information do for you right now?
It would let me know how bad I'm going to gap you or not.
Good God.
Well, what engine company I need to outrun you? What engine company I need to outrun you?
You would need a Nelson Competition 5.3 motor.
You never know. It might have one in both lanes.
Oh, man. Well, y'all, I'm sure y'all know. I mean, you asking a question. You notice there has not been no other engine builder on this show other than Chris Nelson. So from the beginning, you knew my engine was with him. So that is information that's already been out there, sir. So,
really? Oh, I didn't know, sir. I didn't know, sir.
Yeah.
Man, I got somebody Do Chris
Nelson take EBT?
What did he say? Brad, man.
Well, listen.
What
yes, Chris, go ahead.
What
you don't
want
to answer that question, Chris. That question is really not even that up, honestly. Let me grab another caller here. Fellas, I appreciate you. Y'all got another
How long your motor's been there, Chris?
Y'all know what's been to come next. You know what I'm saying? How long? You know you're finna talk to Mike. I'm finna let y'all talk to Mike because it's obvious y'all don't want to talk for real.
Y'all want to talk to Mike.
I ain't
get Jeff Miles on the phone, Brad, man.
Brad, who? Can we get Jeff
Miles?
No. I can't get. I don't know his number, honestly.
This
I don't know his number.
Show, man. You know you can't get no Jeff Miles on here.
That is true. You are right. This is a Grudge Inc. show. But thank you guys for calling in. Hopefully you enjoy the rest of the show. Yes, sir, Madrill. Yes, sir.
Well, I got a man. I'll tell you the definition of mock-up motor, Brad, before you go.
I'm listening.
I'm waiting on it. They have flat pistons in it. They don't even have no eyebrows. And on the piston, do not apply nitrous. And on the head, they just stand their head. They don't even have valves, and they just open cylinders.
Okay, dope.
They built your chassis on it. Thank y'all, and if y'all have any other questions, stick your hand up.
I'm going to go to this next caller. Thank you very much for calling in. Mike! Next caller, 706-2292. Good morning.
Well, Brad, man, this is the doggone dog. Sometime call the Godfather, but I don't know why you calling me Mike, man. You know Mike is a homosexual. He don't come on these men's shows. But then I'm just joking. Not to be a killjoy, though. And good morning, Mr. Chris Nelson.
How are you, sir?
And Mandrell, y'all know doggone well when we got a good topic going. Y'all hold a joke until after the good topic over. They got a good topic going on back there, and I want to send props out first to Chris Nelson for taking out his time just to be on the Bread Man Show. But he answered some real damn good questions that a lot of people ask, but now y'all laughing and joking about it, and then you don't listen to the answer, and it might affect you in the future. Now, it's only one thing that Chris said, but I'll say it another way. When Bread Man asked him, what could a man come in there with a pocket full of money and just close the whole shop down? Now, damn, that Chris Nelson is a good businessman because he didn't answer directly that, yeah, he'd do it, but he kind of hinted that he might. Well, ain't nothing wrong with that, but what he got to do is, just like he did, he hinted that he wouldn't close his shop down, but what he could do is he can put all his time and effort on that doggone motor and get it done, but he don't tell his other customers that he's doing that just for one special customer. And in the same time frame now, if he got another man that says, hey, man, your motor be ready tomorrow. Now, I hate to say it now. That man, he told his motor to be ready tomorrow, and he know he's going to be there with that money. He still got to get that man's motor out of the way. But he can put a lot of effort to that man that came in there with that pocket full of money and saying that he needed his motor and stuff right quick. Now, you might not like it, but it happens all the time. So it's just a true fact of life. Chris Nelson, I appreciate the way you do it, stuff, man. Continue to do it. Thank you.
I'm glad people recognize how things actually work, how things go on.
Let me say one more thing. I'm going to go back on mute because Bread Man, you got to have a special segment and let Mandrea and them know to come on after. I don't know why you bring Mandrea and them on here when you got a serious conversation, because you know they're going to die down on your behind. But Chris Nelson, damn good answers, man. And if I was down in the Florida area, I'd be honest with you. I know I'd take my engine straight to you if I could afford to take my engine to anywhere. I would take it to you because I like the way you answer questions straight up and down. And I haven't heard anybody say that you did anything different than what you just said today.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Godfather. A lot of times in our business that we do as talk show hosts, you give individuals benefit of the doubt. And a lot of times when we come on together, you listen and, you know, dog, you know who those individuals are that came on with the foolishness. And like you say, you know, they're grown men. And I feel like, you know, monitoring it, you give them an opportunity to say what they're going to say, and you be done with it. I'm in control, you know, and I thank you for coming on, and I thank them for coming on this morning to do the things they do. You know, they want to be motivate me in a certain way and let everybody know that, you know, my stuff isn't out there or whatever they got going on.
Oh, hey, Brad, man, not to cut you off, but what I'm saying is, I don't mind them. I enjoy them. What I'm just saying is Chris Nelson is running a shop. What I'm saying is once we got, you know, once he comes on here as a courtesy to you and to some of the people that maybe to educate some of us, what I'm just saying is and his time is kind of valuable, even though everybody's time is valuable. What I mean by that is, you know, we cut the fool and everything. So what I'm saying is when he got a serious topic going on, let's get the serious topic out of the way, and we can get on your ass anytime, Brad, man.
And to follow up behind what Doug's saying is that's some of the reason why at times I'm not available. You know, when we get in, we lock horns on some good topics and things like that, man, you know, it's good for everybody. You know, and for me, volunteering, like Dog's saying, I'd like to come on here. We'll talk serious business. I know there's another side of the coin where it's cutting up, having a good time. But when we can, we'll talk about some, you know, good technical stuff. And then, you know, you guys can take shots at each other, you know, afterwards. So I'm with you, though. I appreciate what you're saying. Look, if we can move it along with some technical stuff, then, you know, that's what I'm here for.
Well, ultimately, that is what you're here for. And, you know, like I say, when you click on a grown man, and, you know, yes, that's why when I said Mike, dog, I was saying they heard the muted. Mike muted is what I was saying. And I was clicking on your mic as I was saying I wasn't calling you Mike, dog. I know your number. But anyway, we're going to move right along. We're going to move right along. What my outcome was, why I asked this question, you know, is do we feel like we give individuals a lot of leeway, you know, I believe Schoolboy had a great illustration on how sometimes we run into instances where we have the money then, but don't want to give it all up because anything can happen, you know. But, yeah, we'll get a project started and turn around, and life happens, and we have to, you know, use those resources somewhere else. And then when the engine man call and say, hey, we got you ready, then it sit there for 2 or 3 months because
you don't have
the money.
And let me ask another question because I want to know this question for real. I mean, I know the answer that I know, but I want to hear it from Chris. Hey, Chris, now, you know, some people – I'll go and pay you and say, okay, I want you to be in my motor and pay you all the money up front. Now, you start working on that motor and you got the money already. Now, does it not motivate you to finish it since you already got paid if other people come in there and do it? And see, that's where we run into a lot of problems when a guy done paid all his money and he be wanting his motor the next day, per se, I'm just saying. And then you don't have his motor ready and then you tell him, well, I have it next week and you see you don't have it. How do you handle a situation like that when you ain't got paid all the money up front, Chris?
I prefer not to get all the money up front. For one thing, just like you're, you know, referring to, it creates an unreasonable expectation by the customer because they think, I paid them all the money, now where's my product? And it doesn't work that easy in these custom engine builds that we do because, case in point, last week, I had a guy wanted to repair an engine. It was a high-value, high-dollar engine. 12 weeks I got quoted on a crankshaft. Now, if I were to do his estimate and take all the money up front and he's calling me 6-8 weeks later talking about, where's my engine? You know, what's the deal? You know, I'm not even able to acquire these parts in that amount of time. Generally, what I like to do is get a 50% deposit. Now, on engine builds, generally they're about 75% parts and 25% labor is kind of the breakdown on how that'll go on these builds. So we'll get 50% up front. And that'll allow us to sit down, make a phone call, get all of our parts en route to us. And then both the customer and the business, the shop owner, have some skin in the game. And that keeps the shop owner motivated to get that job complete so he can get his payoff in the end. And the customer feels like, you know, both people have a vested interest in doing what they say they're going to do to have the, you know, the right outcome. Myself, have been a consumer of other products. I wouldn't want to pay everything up front and then be told I'd have to wait an extended amount of time. But what I have done in that scenario is taken the other 50% of the money, the balance, and put it aside to where it was untouchable for when that day, phone call came and say, hey, you owe us for the roof we put on your house, or whatever the case may be, it's sitting there ready to go. Otherwise, if I didn't have it all up front, I wouldn't commit to something ahead of time. So that's kind of how I've handled from the consumer side in the past and how I've handled it from the business side moving forward is I usually ask for a 50% deposit. That'll cover the vast majority of the parts. And then both the businessman and the customer have some skin in the game that way because I'm invested in their job and they're invested in their job as well.
There you go. Let me grab
his
other one.
I have a question out there. And, Dog, I like your response to it. How long now there's laws in place for this question about how long should you let something sit around unpaid for once they've been notified before you act upon it to recoup your money? Now, there's laws in place that I don't think I've never been in a situation where I've had to sell somebody's stuff. You know, I've asked them, I've done this, I've got a customer or two that's become incarcerated, and I put it up and stored it. But by law, you're able to sell this stuff. Now, to me, there's a big balancing act between how that looks as far as how you're treating somebody that's having hard times and how you treat yourself and your family and when hard times are created upon you for that same scenario.
Hey, I got a good answer for you, Chris. I got a good answer for you. The good answer for you, that a guy spoke just a while ago, he says the rapport that you have with the people that you work for. You know the rapport you got with you have for people. Now, you as a doggone man, and I can tell you got a heart. If I tell you I want my motor and I'm begging you, I'm bothering you, everything, and hard times hit me all of a sudden, then I as a man should come to you and say, hey, Chris, I know I was supposed to pick my motor up yesterday. I know I was supposed to brought you the money, but, hey, something just happened. Now, them the people you can deal with if they're truthful. But like you said, if a guy just wanted stuff real quick and then all of a sudden he ain't got the money or he don't want to spend the money, then you just got to know the rapport you have with your people, Chris. That's what I think you do. And you know that kind of people because when you get them in there, you can talk to a person, and if you're the smartest I think you are, you can say certain things to a person and know whether or not they're truthful about getting their motive did, when they're going to pay for it, and how they're going to pay for it and everything. So you just got to go take it as a case-by-case basis and know who the individual you're dealing with.
That's currently my approach. Is, you know, a case-by-case basis. And, you know, I've had some guys, they'll leave and they'll show up and say, hey, Chris, I'm a little bit short. Is it all right if I come get my motor? And certain ones that have been truthful with me in the past, they've asked up front, they didn't come up short at the end and expect something, you know, I'll have some leeway with. And those are the guys that in the past have been, you know, 100% honest with me, kept me informed of what's going on with them, and I've had no problem with it, you know. And then at times other guys, you know, they won't make that phone call. That's tough on your pride to make and say, hey, I'm having a hard time right now, but I didn't forget about you. That right there goes a long way with me. Or just
well, see, Chris, I believe in life. And like I said, I might be older than a bunch of guys on the phone. In life, if you're in a business or you're a trustworthy person, I say in life, Every man I deal with, if I deal with him, can screw me one time because I'm always get a man the benefit of the doubt the first time because, hey, if I deal with him, I must trust him or whatever. So I hate to say it in life. Anybody that I deal with can always get over on me one time because I had that much trust to even deal with you. So it's just a pill you might have to swallow or whatever, you know, so that's life.
Very, very true.
Let me grab his other caller, 313-5727.
Hey, Chris,
good
how
morning.
You doing? How you doing, dog, bread man?
All right.
Good morning.
Question. Now, say, for instance, we could design an engine for you to build for me, but hypothetically, I got enough for a short block, but I want the complete engine eventually. And say, for instance, I get you enough to build a short block for me, and we get that squared away. Can we continue on with the payments on completing the rest of the motor?
Happens
how would
all
that
the
be
time.
Done?
It
okay.
happens all the time, and that drops back to like what Doug was saying about communication as well. As long as we have an open line of communication, say, Chris, I've got half the money for this project. Let's go ahead and get the short block stuff coming. Let's get it going together. And as we get that paid for and, you know, money starts to come along, I'm going to send you a deposit. And you just, you know, and what I'll do a lot of times, some guy might send me, you know, hundreds of dollars on thousands of dollars worth of work, credit for him. And then once we get to a point where we have enough money to buy the next logical part, you know, that take the next longest amount of time, then I'll order it. So I have one guy that sends me $500 a week. And when it adds up to be enough for a block, I'll order the block. You know, and although I don't, that's not my favorite way to do it. But that's how I've had to do it myself in the past, so I understand. You know, so that doesn't make it wrong. I mean, it's nice to be able to sit down one afternoon and order every part you need to build an engine. I mean, that's simpler. But at the same time, we do take a partial deposit, create a credit for that person, and, you know, either over the phone or, you know, by check, whatever the case may be, and just let it add up until, you know, the job's done, $1 at a time.
Let me throw another clink in there because I'm learning a lot on this thing and I'd like to see a difference in perspective. Chris, now just like Phil, you got a guy that you know you do work for and he takes care of you all the time. Y'all have a good working relationship and everything and whatever he say he do. Now when a guy's motor blow up and a guy like that, do you give him some kind of like a discount or get him a break on the next time they get a motor built with you?
It depends on the scenario. Now, I mean, that blow up word is very vague. You know, if a guy goes out there, burns a piston or has some sort of tuning error or parts failure in the car or something like that, I mean, that's not really on us per se. Now, if he has a problem with any of our workmanship, anything, you know, that could have been prevented, a mistake or things like that, we absolutely would stamp it on our work. Now, where that gets funny is when one of our vendors' parts that we buy fails and it wasn't an assembly or a craft workmanship issue, but it was a parts failure, and then all the, like the connecting rod, a couple of years ago, GRP, the aluminum rod company that we widely use, had a problem with their hat washers, the inserts in their rod caps. Well, I lost two engines because of before I found out that there was a widespread problem. And with those guys, the manufacturer didn't step up and do anything beyond replace the product. So I took care of the labor, and the customer took care of the additional parts that were damaged. We got free rods. I did free labor. And then that's how we took care of that. Both of those guys were happy. They said, you know, they appreciate us working with them. You know, they didn't feel like it was our fault. They didn't feel like it was their fault. But everybody shared a little bit of the blame or a little bit of the cost and made it easier on everybody rather than a big finger point contest. So that's how we've handled some of those scenarios in the past. And I just think that's the right thing to do, whether it's I'm bound by law to do that or not. I don't even worry about that because I thought that was the right thing to do.
Well, there you have it. That caller 5727. You had an extra question before the Godfather started talking. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got another question. I got a low compression motor, 10.5 to 1. What type of gasoline? I'm going to use it on nitrous. what type would I use? Would you recommend C16 when you're spraying a heavy amount of nitrous, maybe 300, 350?
Or
what type of gas would you recommend?
I would err on the side of caution. And those, higher quality of fuels, higher octane fuels, they're slower burning, and they have a higher lead content to control the detonation. So your car may not necessarily need that much fuel quality or that high of octane, but you're not going to go wrong by using that. But if you miss on the shy side of things and you use, say, a C12 fuel or something, you had a higher requirement than that because of the amount of nitrous you're using, you could definitely hurt some parts. Now,
right.
I would always, like I said, err on the safe side, use a higher quality part, fuel, whatever the case may be, and you'll never wish you bought quality or never, regret that you bought quality, but you definitely wish you did at times.
Okay.
There you have it. We got another caller here, 863-4142. Thank you for holding. Thank you for holding, Chief. Good morning.
Hi. How you doing, Brent, man, with a dog and Chris? Question for Chris, and I'm glad I listened to the show this morning because I was debating this morning, should I go to the shop and get my motor or not. The problem I'm having, Chris, and you're an engine builder, I had my motor done, and I think I got 5 passes on the motor, and there's nothing wrong with the motor, but I'm going a whole different route, I'm going to a pro charger. Only thing I need was pretty much the piston changed in the motor, and the guy told me that the motor would be done in May. And I went there about 3 weeks ago, and he haven't touched the motor. And I already dropped a deposit to him. I mean, if it was you, would you go to another speed shop or continue to hold it, keep it there?
Well, I would have to know more facts before I really answer it, because to me, May was Saturday. So it was only a couple of days ago. It just
well, no,
really
no, the motor. I dropped
yes,
the motor
sir.
Off it. And,
okay. Hey. And wait, let me jump in there. I might be overstepping my boundaries, though. But Chris, since you're a businessman, I don't think you should answer that type of question. But now, what he's basically saying is, yes, if I was you, now you must have had you should have had some kind of rapport with that shop that you took your motor to get a 50% discount. Now, if he told you to be ready in May, Chris, that's what you missed. He said it said be ready in May, and you would buy that 3 weeks later, and he ain't even touched it. Well, you got a problem there. I would have a problem with that if he ain't even touched my motor now.
Okay, yeah, nothing.
Did he say it was going to be ready in May, or you dropped it off in May?
No, I dropped it off right after Ronnie Brown race. That one I dropped it off.
No, he said, Chris asked you, did he tell you it'll be ready in May? That's what Chris asked you.
Okay, yeah, he said it'd be ready in May, and I dropped it off in February. And
that's
I
what I'm saying. I'd have a big problem with that right now. I would have. I'd be in the shop right now. I would have loaded my shit up by now.
I misheard what you said. I thought you dropped it off in May.
No, I dropped it off in February. And I dropped the deposit with him. And the thing about it, I just had the motor done in December, so there's nothing wrong with the motor. I only got like 5 passes, but I decided to go to a pro charger, and I needed to change the pistons in the motor. And the guy's a good guy, and I was thinking about this morning, should I go and pick my motor up, but I don't want to have no bad blood. I'm in a pretty –
best thing I could tell you, and like you just said, the guy's a good guy. I'm assuming you guys have dealt with each other before. I would just have a conversation with him and explain to him where you're coming from, how you feel, and why you feel that way because of the things he told you. And he may have something that he may tell you in response. I have a that I know has his car in one of the highest profile chassis shops in the nation. Guy has been doing it forever. He's still waiting on his car. It's been almost a year. And I asked him, I said, what's going on with your car? How come it's taking so long? He says, well, so-and-so's daughter has cancer, and he's been spending as much time with her as he can. At that point, you can't say nothing. This guy may have something going on that you don't know about. Just have a conversation with him. If he's got a good explanation, listen to it. If he just tells you something that doesn't sit right with you, then you got to make your mind up at that point. But just talk to him. Most people, a conversation goes a long way.
All right. I just wanted to make sure.
Well, I'm glad that, we came up with this topic, and it's not to bash. Notice we haven't used any names or we're not exploiting anyone or bashing anyone. We're only trying to get clarification on what would be a good idea and what's enough time. And it just so happens you just fell right into the spot.
And to recognize at the same time, to recognize at the same time as there's two sides to the issue. There's the customer, and then there's the business side to it. And I think, like Dog brought up a good point about being upfront, being honest, communicating. I called a guy a couple weeks ago and said, hey, I know I told you you'd be ready by now, but I'm just behind. He said, thanks for calling. Let me know when it's ready. And I think that in itself, me calling him and not waiting for him to have to call me, diffused that situation by itself. So, I mean, you just got to realize that there's both, you know, there's two sides to every story. And I feel like myself, we're in it together because although there are other options, you know, they need it. They need their engine work done, and I need customers. So we're partners in this case with one another and make sure our partnerships work.
Sounds good. That sounds good. With that being said, if y'all have any other tech questions outside of this right here, if you want to ask any other questions about this right here, now's
the
time.
Hold on, man. You know me. You can't get away that quick, doggone it. Hey, Chris, if I could I ask, how old are you, Chris?
Myself, I'm 35.
Okay, now, if y'all don't know Chris Nelson, he said up before on the Bread Man show that he was a small business and he just started doing this and stuff. Now, Chris, are you so customer-focused now because you're a small-time guy and you're a young guy and you are in that? Now, what if you get to be we ain't using no names bad, so I'm going to use this good. What if you become a Gene Fulton? Would you still have that same customer service focus that you have now?
Well, I understand how situations happen as people grow that customers do slip through the cracks for the same reason, and I've been fortunate enough to pick up some of those guys. I have pondered this question, not that I feel like I'm there on that level with the who's who in the industry that's been after it for 30 years. However, I thought about, okay, let's use Gene for instance. For many years, you go to the racetrack and didn't think anybody else built a nitrous motor because he built so many engines. Then you have a guy like John Cozzi, who is an expert in his field, but kept his customer base smaller and focused on those guys more. I've pondered it, and right now where I'm at in life and where I'm at in business, I think I'd rather keep my customer base smaller and have more of a focus on it because, I mean, realistically, as you grow and do more and more work, you have to have more employees, larger facility. All these things sound like more stress to me. And I don't know if the additional money creates a quality of life to offset that. I'd rather spend time with my family and have a smaller customer base than go after mail order and, you know, sell a crate engine or some of the larger guys have done. So myself, I've analyzed it because I can see the guys who've been in my shoes and made more of it, and other guys that have had more of a niche business, like, say, a Cozzi has, and, you know, has perfected his craft in just a smaller niche rather than try to build every engine at the racetrack. That right now is where my focus would go, is more of a niche business and a smaller customer base, that guys that are repeat business and you've dealt with for years rather than, you know, dealing with guys that you met over the internet, so to speak. So that's the direction I would take it.
Okay, well, Bread Man, you just got a problem, Bread Man. Instead of Chris Nelson doing the tech tips, you got to get him a Dr. Phil show, too.
So, all right, guys. Well, I got to get back to work. I got a couple customers here waiting on me. I appreciate your time, and thanks, Dog, for the help on the straightening everything out.
No problem,
yeah, we'll
man. Get the work.
Take
care. Bread Man, if you get Mandrill and if they still on the phone back on there, you're gonna be in trouble, man.
No, I don't see their hands up anymore. See their hands. But now's the time because we have other things that we have to get involved with, but now's the time for any promoters to come on and, you know, promote their show. I do wanna say that let me look at my little thing here. I am trying to show up in Darlington, the NGRA Showtime on 29th at Darlington on June the 14th. the bread man is definitely trying to be in the house. If y'all want to find out anything about that particular race, you can get on Smack Talk TV, check it out. Supposed to be a pretty good race. I hope that finally the Camp 5 in action. I've been checking that little back half Camaro out. You know what I mean? Is it going to be the dog?
I plead the fifth, Brad, man. I plead the fifth. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, I definitely looking at checking that car out. I've been looking at it on all in mode shop and everything, looking all good. And I thought I seen it down in Darlington on a video running down.
Well, you did, Brad, man. Like I said, I don't like to say I'm going to do something or be somewhere that's not know I'm going to be there for real. What I mean by that is before the 14th, I probably got three or four more races and don't nothing happen before that. And I don't want to be there. No, I told my car off and then I said I'm going to be there and I don't be there. So I don't want to, I don't never answer until it's the week of the race or the day of the race and I know I'm going to be there when I know my car running.
Right. Oh, well, I got some crazy text going on. But with that being said, let me go ahead and fall up until the next thing at hand. We're going to get on up out of here. No, nobody want to say anything else. Dog, did you have anything else you wanted to report or say before we get out of here?
Oh, Brad, man, I just appreciate you letting me come on. And, again, if people don't think these people that we get on the phone, you're like Ernie got the Ask Ernie show tonight at 6 o'clock. And if people don't appreciate these people taking out of their time, they should. Like I said, don't get me wrong now. Mandrill and all of them, I know y'all cut a fool, and that's what we do. But if we got a good topic going on, we take care of the business first, and then we take care of, the joking later, which that's the way I like to do it now. If you got your show, you run it the way you want it. That's just the way I prefer it. And it was a good topic today, and I think it was something that we need to learn because all of us deal with machine shops. So that was good to have him on here talking about stuff like that. And we need to learn that way. That'll knock down some of this confusion we got in this game also. But just to say on a quick note, though, Tony Bynes, Primetime, and Darren Street King, they had a pretty good little old damn showdown in Bowman yesterday for a little throw-together show. They had a damn good little showdown in Bowman yesterday. With that being said, Brad, man, I'm on mute. Good show.
601-1606. Thank you for holding. Good afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Brad, man. I was just wanting to let you know that was a good show and a good topic today, man.
We getting ready to go to this inspirational vitamin, and then we're going to get on out of here. But, hey, you always been there for me, my brother. I appreciate you coming in with them flowers.
Ain't no
doubt. Appreciate you. Yes, sir. Let me grab this other one right here. 678-2944.
This cool boy again. Yeah. Hey, man, good show. I just want to say, it's like everything else we do, man, in all our relationships. You know, we need to be full of character and integrity. You know, and that just doesn't relate to just machine shop customer. You know, that's everything in life, you know. And I think a lot of times we don't treat each other with that same type of respect. So in order to, in order to do better, we must know better. So I appreciate the topic, and hope you have a good one, man. We'll talk to you later. I'm on mute.
I appreciate your thoughts on it as well. They were very humbling. Thank you, JT. 863-4142. I done got to you on closing statements. Come on with it.
I don't have anything, Brett, man. Appreciate it. It's a good show, though. Now I'm on my witchy machine shop.
Well, hey, you be good now. Don't you start nothing. Just talk about it. But,
I'm not that type of person anyway, though. No. I'm a real patient person.
Right. Well, I'm sure it all be worked out. Just do what you do, man. Whatever you feel is best, well, I'm sure it'll be the best thing to do. So be intelligent about it. Yes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
313-313-5727. I'm up to you. Come on with it. Final thoughts of the show. 313-5727. Lord, hold on a minute. You there, 5727?
Yep, I'm here.
My bad. Final thought.
Yep. Good show today, as always. Appreciate you. And hopefully we can get Chris Nelson back on the line for some other topics.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He will be. He come in periodically when he has, you know, the time to do it. And, you know, I Dog has a very valid point. And, you know, we in case, and we do need to be more gentle when we have company on the line. And, you know, I'm not throwing any stones at anybody. You know, we do have fun, but there's a time for it. And I'm sure that, you know, even your time is valuable to me. And you don't want to hear all that, but you be trying to get your information in while you can. So I understand what he's saying. He does have a point. That's why they do call him the Godfather. But thank you, my brother, for calling in and participating.
Thank you.
Have a blessed week. Yes, sir. 414-6614, final thoughts.
Good show, Brett. I appreciate that information, man, we got today.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I appreciate you for starting it out. You know what I mean? If you you started it out and it just went from there, you know what I mean? And Chris was on, he was on earlier, but he was adjusting somebody's valves, and he kept texting me, telling me, you know, hey, I'm going to get on. So, you know, he do sit back and listen a lot. So, you know, it's good to listen and conversate with people that are on the phone. I'm glad y'all do participate. And like Dog say, even on Ernie's show, don't be afraid to call and ask these guys questions, man, because all we're doing is bettering ourselves. You know, it's a lot of times they don't know you. They don't know how you look or whatever. But if you go ahead and give your insight, it can go a long way. Look at what it did. You know what I mean? We got a couple guys that thinking otherwise now, or, you know what I mean, should be going to talk about things. And I think that's what, on both sides of the fence, it can keep the industry going well. So he'll learn something from it. So, but I appreciate you. Eastside, Strangler.
Man, one thing about it.
Uh-oh, cut him off. Come on with it.
Everybody in the grudge world, man, needs to start taking advantage of this free information, man. You, Dog, and whoever else, that, man, had them guys come on. And do they give us that free information, man? Everybody needs to take advantage of it, man. And the shows I record, and you can go back and listen to them if you miss what they're talking about. That's all I got to say. I'm out here.
Appreciate you, Chief. Well, Dog, I say you for last. You done said all you're going to say. You good?
Yeah, Bread Man, I appreciate it. Like I said, I'm good, Bread Man, and keep doing what you're doing. And I have to reemphasize, like you said, we wasn't jumping on what you call them, with Mandrill and all of them, and Chubb and Nephew, them some fools, man. But, you know, like I said, you know, when we got a good topic on, you know, we get the topic out of the way first and then let them act a fool a little bit later. That's all I'm saying. I don't want them to get mad at me for saying that, but that's just the way I feel about it, you know. We act a fool when we got a time to act a fool when we ain't got anything else to do. Good show, Brett, man. Continue doing what you're doing, man, and much success to you, brother.
Appreciate it, brother. With that being said, y'all know what's next, the inspirational vitamin. Inspirational vitamin of this Monday morning goes as such. God answers all prayers in three ways. Yes, because you deserve it. No, because you deserve better. And not yet, because the best is yet to come. Remember, GAP, that ain't gap as in gapping somebody in drag racing. It's God answers prayers. GAP, God answers prayers. May you have a blessed week. This is the Bread Man. One time.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain. Woo! Break every chain. Break every chain. break every chain. There is power.
Come on.
Come on, you declare it.
There is power.